As we look into God's word, let's pray together. Gracious God, our Father, wherever we are, as we gather this morning in your name, you are present with us by your Spirit, and we ask that by your Spirit you would be active in our hearts and in our minds, and in my words, that these words that I speak may be faithful to the written words of Holy Scripture, and that they would lead us all to the living word, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have mentioned probably every week so far, as we have been in this quarantine situation with the global pandemic, with COVID-19, that it's strange. And I want to emphasize that again. It has been strange, and our experiences of daily life are all very, very different than I think what our norm used to be, and they will probably continue to be this way for quite a while. And so this, of course, has shaped my reflections for this morning, and I want to focus on the gospel reading for today, and in particular, I want to focus on the first part. And not on the last part. I think most of the time, and I know whenever I've preached this passage, I almost always focus on what many people call the doubting Thomas part. I prefer to call him believing Thomas, because I think that's really the point of the introduction of Thomas into this story, as well as the fact that he has the most powerful declaration in all the Gospels of who Jesus is as the resurrected Christ. He calls him his Lord and his God, which is really significant. But I'm not going to focus on that. Instead, I want to focus on the first part. And in particular, I'll get to it in just a minute. I want to focus on three things that Jesus says as the resurrected Christ to the disciples, that I think are specific words for me this morning, as well as I hope for all of us. And I want to do that in dialogue a bit with the other two passages, the Acts 2 passage, as well as the 1 Peter 1 passage. But first, I want to sort of set this up by talking about three experiences that I had this week. This week has been very, very interesting, just in terms of the conversations that I've had with people and my own experiences. And one in particular, I learned something yesterday that I think all of you should be mindful of. Here's a pro hack for COVID-19 shopping. Don't do it on the weekend. It's much, much different. And I had to run out to get some groceries that we needed, as well as a couple other items, and there just everybody was out. I've been out before during the week, sparsely here and there to just smaller places, but I went to Superstore and Canadian Tire, and Canadian Tire, the lineup was so long I couldn't even get in there. But what was really palpable to me was the anxiety that everybody was feeling. And Jody has often mentioned to me in the evenings as we're sort of wrapping up our day how it's just she's so tired. And just there's this constant, I think, anxiety and weight. And as we're trying to negotiate new patterns in life and doing so much stuff online, she's been working online, teaching online, and taking classes online. And all of our kids have been doing the same thing. I've been having Zoom meetings and Skype meetings and on all that online, and there's just this kind of anxiety that's underlying everything that kind of wears us out. But you could really feel it. I could really feel it yesterday as we were going around. And interestingly enough, as I got to the cash register at Superstore, you know how they have the magazines there? There was a Time magazine that would call, it said something. I didn't pick up the magazine, but the headline said something like, "Living in the Age of Anxiety." Or maybe it was just the age of anxiety, and I thought, man, that is such an appropriate label for what I'm experiencing right now and what I feel around me. So that's one thing. Now, another experience that is really definitive for me in this time is walking my dog. Now, I always walk my dog, Zeus, and it's always a great thing, but it's something that's really become almost like this. I don't want to use the word sacrament because that's really holy word, but it's become almost like that. It's become really important, and as a family, we will walk the dogs, and it's something that's really important, but there's something that also is accompanied with that, And that is, you have to clean up after your dog, and so you always carry these little bags. And I hope this isn't an unholy illustration, but there's something here that connects to the resurrection, believe it or not, and I'm going to bring that in later. But it also comes along with this other experience that we're, I think, all having, in that we watch a lot of Netflix, and one of the things that we watch in our family often are comedies. And I can't remember which comedian this was, and I bet you Bella, who is sitting right over here, can remember, and she may tell me, but one of the comedians talks about how he's had a young child and he has a little dog. It might be John Mulaney. And one of the things he's discovered about this new life that he has with the dog and the child is that he carries around little bags of waste, shall we say. And he said it's a weird thing because you're not allowed to do that unless you have a child or a dog within 10 feet of you. You can't walk around with this little bag of waste. And that's something that you do a lot of when you have dogs or children as well. And believe it or not, these experiences, I think, actually kind of tie in to the resurrection in a really interesting way. And I want to bring that up. But I want to talk, really focus on the three post-resurrection words that Jesus gives to us in the gospel reading. And the first one is in verse 19. The second one is in verse 21. And the third one is in the verse right after that, verse 22. The first word is, peace be with you. The second one is, Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then the third one is, receive the Spirit. So let's look at the first one, peace be with you. What's really significant here is that the disciples are gathered on Sunday, on the first day of the week, and this is one of the earliest recordings of that, and it's a practice that Christians have had ever since this earliest church met together and was formed here in this room. And Jesus suddenly appears among them, and the first words that he speaks to them is, peace be with you. Now, peace is something that figures very heavily in John's gospel. The very famous passage on this, of course, is in John 14, where Jesus is linking this to the presence of the Holy Spirit and his going away from them. And in particular, if you want to check up on me, look at verse 25 to 27 in John 14. But Jesus comes to his disciples who have been disoriented by the crucifixion. And now he is raised from the dead and he comes among them as disciples for the first time. And the first words that he speaks to them are words of peace. And he says, be at peace. I'm here. And in order to sort of emphasize that I'm really here, he shows them the nail marks in his hands, and he shows them his side. And what I want to emphasize here is that the resurrection establishes for us the basis for personal peace, or what we might call freedom from anxiety. You see, anxiety is always related to possibility. We're anxious about things because there are possible things that exist that we can't control, and that creates in us a sense of upheaval in ourselves. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that spurs us on. Sometimes it really can be paralyzing. But as I think about the anxiety that we're all facing, there's just this sense of uncertainty that's hanging over us all. And what I want to emphasize here is that Jesus comes among them and he says, I have risen from the dead. I am here. Now be at peace. And that's the first word that I think I'm hearing today is, and I hope you're hearing today too from Jesus, is be at peace. I am here. This resurrection establishes this basis for personal peace, but it also establishes the basis for joy and praise in the middle of very difficult circumstances. That's what Peter's letter is telling us all about in verses 3 to 9. He's addressing a group of Christians who have believed in Jesus, even though they haven't seen. So they're seeing him. They're part of that group that Jesus is talking about when he speaks to Thomas and says, you've believed because you've seen. Well, there are others coming who are blessed because they have not seen. Well, these are the people that Peter is addressing. And he starts off by praising God, even though they're going through very difficult circumstances. And so that is what I think the message here is that Jesus is saying, be at peace. Well, how? Why does this work? How does this work? How do we be at peace? And I wanted to highlight a couple of things. And the first one is what Peter says in his sermon in Acts 2. And if you look particularly at verse 31, he says this: God did not abandon Jesus to the grave or let his body see decay. And so the first reason I think that we can be at peace is that God is faithful. This is what the resurrection means. This is what it's all about. Jesus clung to his Father despite the suffering, despite the abandonment that he felt on the cross. And through faith, Peter says, in verses 4 to 5, we have an inheritance that can never fade or spoil. And this means that whatever our circumstances, however dire they might be, and however dark and uncertain our future appears to us, we can, like Jesus facing the cross and as he prays in Gethsemane, and he's looking at that, this is not something he wants to go through with. So however dark the future appears to us, like Jesus in Gethsemane, we can trust that our Father will always be faithful to us, because that's what the resurrection shows. Secondly, I think the reason why we can be at peace is that, as 1 Peter 1:3 says, God has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And what I think I want to emphasize here is that the living hope that we receive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not really an explanation. It's not just simply, oh, hey, hang on, things are going to be all right. There's going to be a resurrection someday in the future. Instead, it's a celebration that there has already been a resurrection, and that things are already different. And yes, there is more to come, for sure. And that's the hope part of it. But the celebration, the living part of it, is that Jesus Christ is indeed here, and he is working now. I love how some commentators refer to the cross and resurrection, to the Easter, which is both of those things together, as an event. It's a thing that changes everything. Everything is different because of these things. And you see, this is how I see that little bag that I carry around when I walk with the dog, as operating a little bit like the resurrection. Because what you do with this bag is you take the waste and you cover it up, and it just gets completely wrapped up inside of it. This came to me while, I'm sorry, this is what happens when you have a pandemic, I guess. You think about the weird things. And the resurrection just takes everything up and swallows it up. And it's all covered in Jesus. It's all wrapped up inside of the resurrection, because in the resurrection there is new creation. God's kingdom has been inaugurated. It is here and now. God is ruling and reigning. And that rule and reign is not characterized by violence and hatred and suppression, the way the powers worked on him and that crucified him, as Peter talks about in his sermon in Acts 2. Instead, this new kingdom, this new creation, this reality that is here right now, is characterized by love and forgiveness and grace. And the word that we've used so many times in sermons over the last year has been shalom. That is actually really present, and that's the living hope that we receive in Jesus Christ. You see, this means that we can be at peace, that we can rest in God's grace. We can be assured of God's love. We can get up in the morning, as one person I was talking to this week said, we can get up in the morning and say, God loves you just the way you are. He really does. God's okay with you. He really is. And we can do this because the only possibility left open to us by the resurrection in the future is love and grace and forgiveness and relationship with our Creator. In short, the only possibility open to us in the future is shalom. So we don't need to be anxious about it. We can be at peace. So I think that's the first word that Jesus says to us this morning is peace be with you. Live in it. Realize it. The second one is in verse 21, and he again reiterates peace, but then he says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So the word that he says is share this peace. Share this peace. Receive it, and then share it. We have a God who is on a mission. A God who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son. And did that in order to redeem us, to swallow up all of the filth, all of the awfulness, all of the hatred, the violence, the evil, and redeem it, to change it, to render it nothing, and call into being a new creation. And so we are to live in the power of God's love and grace. We are to live in the shalom. Let that rule our hearts in all things. So this love and grace that we've received in Jesus Christ, we are then to share it with the world around us. And that is directly connected to the third word in verse 22, which is receive the Spirit. In John 14, 25 to 27, Jesus says, my peace I give you. I'm leaving it with you. I don't give as the world gives. This peace is not the same. It is this deep abiding peace that comes from living in God's shalom, God's kingdom. And so we are to live out God's forgiveness of us. He goes on to talk about this expressly in terms of forgiveness. All those around us who are broken and torn by sin, and then who in turn do the same, were to be the forgiveness in the world. And the thing is that's difficult about this is that forgiveness is risky because it involves vulnerability. And I love how in our Easter story, and we see this displayed for us in Peter's sermon, we see this cross and resurrection really shows us two different things about God. First of all, God's incredible vulnerability. You see, as Peter tells us the story of what has just happened at Easter, God leaves himself open to our violence, our brokenness, our sin, and our needs, and God gives himself for us, allows us to put to death his only Son. But it also shows us God's power, which is completely different than the powers that worked together to crucify Jesus. The powers that are violent, the powers that exclude and marginalize and want to suppress. Instead, we see God's resurrection power brings new life instead of violence and death, and literally swallows up death and brings new life. You see, Jesus' resurrection anchors our hope. And we can be confident that the same God who became vulnerable in Jesus Christ and who demonstrated unique power to bring new life, despite the darkness and destruction of death and violence, and anything else that threatens human peace and flourishing, including world pandemics, this same God is at work today, both in us and in the world around us. So today, this morning, this week, let us go confident in this living hope that we have received in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us live in the Spirit. Let us receive the Spirit. Let us be at peace, and let us share the peace. I say all these things in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.